So before we get into the episode, a word from our sponsors. In this episode of Talking About Fun TV Shows, I talk about Outlander's 12th episode from Season 1, Lollybrook. Hello everyone, I'm your host Betty. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. Okay, so I need to clear something up. In the second episode, I talked about Jenny and what she went through with Blackjack Randall. I kind of got that scene wrong, and we'll get into it more when we start discussing the episode. But right here, I'm admitting that I got it wrong. So anyway, I can explain right here why I got it wrong. It's because, like, I have watched this show, you know, from season one all the way to season five, you know. And I have read the books from book one to book five. But it's been a really long time since I have watched this show from the beginning to you know, current seasons. So I'm gonna get things wrong, and I'm gonna get, you know, stuff, you know, mixed up. That being said, though, my goof wasn't that bad. I mean, I just, you know, I kind of implied that maybe Jenny probably, you know, showed her strength, you know, to Blackjack Randall and, you know, gave him a good Jenny beating, but, she didn't. All she did to get rid of Blackjack Randall, her way is pretty clever. Her way is better than what I was thinking. All she did was laughed in his face. So, but anyway, yeah, I got that wrong, and I'm admitting it right here and right now. Like I said, I think I said this in that episode, or, you know, I've said it before anyway. If I get things wrong and y'all are listening to this and y'all are like, come on, Betty, you know better than this, or you should know better than this, let me know. Call me out on it, because, you know, I'm not going to get it perfect. You know, I'm not perfect. So anyway, and one more thing before we get into the discussion of this episode, from my previous episode, there was a thing that I noticed that I didn't bring up in the conversation on the last episode, is that Galus, in that last episode, she said that, you know, when she was talking with Claire in the Thieves Hole, talking about her baby, she said matter-of-factly, you know, it wasn't even a question, that she was having a boy. And it got me to wondering, did she know she was having a boy? Because, you know, she's from the future. So did she know she was going to be having a boy? Because did she know her past, you know, or her future? I don't know. But anyway, it just got me to wondering. So that's just food for thought. But let's get into the episode that we're currently discussing. Oh yeah, and by the way, instead of getting these off of IMDb now, I'm getting them from Outlander Wiki, because it seems like Outlander Wiki has better trivia and better things. So I went on that website instead of IMDb this time, and I'll probably continue to in the future. But anyway, the synopsis reads, reunited, Claire and Jamie make their way to Lollybrook, Jamie's family home. Reality quickly sets in, and old wounds are reopened between Jamie and his sister, Jenny. So this episode, it starts out, the title card is actually two dogs laying in front of the fire, and then it shows the Lollybrook name of the episode. I'm bringing this up because I want to mention that back in the day when this first aired, I think it was around Christmas time, and these two dogs, they stars every year during Christmas, they release a Yule log for you to watch and sit and stuff. And this year, this particular, the first year of Outlander, they did that, and they showed these two dogs in front of this fire for like I think it was a whole hour, I think is how long that Yule log lasts. But anyway, that's not important. But I wanted to bring it up. But anyway, see, my memory is still good. You know, I may forget, you know, important details from the episodes, but I remember stuff, you know, from back then. But anyway, this episode, it starts out with Jamie and Claire, and they're riding, you know, through the countryside to get to Lollybrook, and they're talking about Claire's time and stuff. And I also want to mention right here, before I get too ahead, you know, the countryside of Scotland, you know, when they're riding the horse and stuff, they're showing all of the beautiful mountains and all of the beautiful scenery. Scotland is just so beautiful. But anyway, they're talking about Claire's time, like what Claire's trying to explain what a airplane is and how high it flies and, you know, just how beautiful or how amazing it would be to be on a plane. And then Jamie asks her, you know, how old she is, and she tells him that she's 27, and this kind of surprises Jamie because he always thought that she was either his age or younger, but he's, I think he's 5 years younger than her. And if, again, guys, if I'm getting these things wrong, correct me. But the reason why I say that I think she's 5 years older than him is because he says that when he's 40, she will be 245. So, but they're riding on the horse, and as they get, you know, Jamie stops the horse because they've arrived at Lollybrook, and they get off the horse and they're looking, and we get our first glimpse of Lollybrook, and it is so beautiful. And I would just love to be able to visit the real place that this location is filmed at, because that is it's gorgeous. But anyways, while they're standing there, Jamie has a moment, you know, where he has this flashback of what happened the last time he was there. And, you know, he remembers what Black Jack Randall did and what he did, what Jamie believes happened with Jenny, you know, and it's hard, you know, it's hard memories for him. So they're walking through the forest, and Jamie is telling Claire that Dougal had heard that Jenny had a bastard child of Black Jack Randall's, and Claire says that, you know, it's just a rumor, you know, it may not be true. So they approach Lollybrook, and Jamie is putting away the horse, and Claire sees a little boy playing in the yard there, and she goes over and talks to him, and Jenny comes around the corner, and she calls for Jamie's, she calls Jamie's name, and our Jamie, you know, Big Jamie, he thinks that she's talking to him, but she's really talking to the little boy. And but as this all happens simultaneously, as she's talking, or as she's calling for the little one, Jamie walks around and she sees him, and she drops the basket she's holding and everything, and she goes over there and hugs him, and you know, she's just so happy to see him, you know, and she says, you know, it's been 4 years and no word and all of this. And she calls the little boy over there and tells him, you know, that this is the man that you're named after. This is your uncle, Jamie. And Jamie is upset because he, you know, he asks, why would she name this little boy after him, you know, Black Jack Randall's bastard. And this upsets Jenny because she's like, you think I had a Black Jack Randall's bastard? And so Jamie, you know, he's like, we shouldn't have come here. And Claire steps up and says that maybe they should all go talk in the house. And Jenny interrupts her and says, tell this trollop to stay out of my business. And then, of course, Jamie, you know, he gets up in Jenny's face and says, you know, you'll speak to my wife with respect. You know, that's, she's my wife, and you'll treat her with respect. And then Jenny, she grabs him and says, do I have to grab you by your bollocks and makes you stand still like we were kids so you'll listen to me? And Jamie's like, well, you'll shame me in front of my wife and everything. And she's like, well, if she's your wife, then I'm pretty sure she's more familiar with your balls than I am. So Jenny, she's saying, you know, don't test me, brother, because the last time I saw you was strung up on that archway, and then, you know, I thought you were dead, and then you come home and act like this. And then Ian, or well, first Jamie says, you know, who is the father of this boy? And Ian comes around the corner and he says that it's his, you know. And Jenny says, this is your brother-in-law. And of course, you know, Jamie knows him. You know, they were friends and they grew up together and they even fought in the war together. That's how Ian lost his leg. But Ian is like, you always knew how to make an entrance, Jamie, and is so glad to see you. And he also said that they thought that he was dead until they received their chest from Castle Leok. And so, but Jamie turns around and he's trying to say sorry to Jenny, you know, that he didn't know what he was talking about. But she doesn't, she's just like, he's a fool. Oh, yeah, and before that, Ian introduces himself to Claire, and she introduces herself back as, she's the trollop, Claire Frazier. And Jenny is not, she doesn't look happy. And I'm going to take a second right here and talk about Jenny, because I love this girl. She is just fire, and I just love her. But anyway, so we go to the next scene, and Jamie, he's standing by the fire. They've all gone into Lollybrook at this point, and Jamie, he's standing next to the fire, and he wants to know what went on between Blackjack Randall and Jenny. And Jenny tells him that, you know, she'll tell him once and never speak of it again. So Jenny goes into this story after Blackjack Randall had knocked Jamie out. He led her into the house and took her up the stairs. And he starts being really disgusting, sticking his finger in her mouth and all of that. And he goes to kiss her on the neck. And at this moment, she reaches for a lamp and hits him over the head with it, but then he grabs her and throws her around and throws her on top of the bed and starts, I don't even want to talk about it, he was being disgusting. Anyways, and she turns around and sees him doing the disgusting thing, and she starts laughing at him, and he doesn't like this because it's, you know, it's ruining his mood or whatever. And he tells her to be quiet and, you know, quit it. And she just keeps laughing and laughing. And this is, you know, this is what spares her life. It spares her from being a victim of his, because, you know, laughing in his face. And this is where I screwed up, you know. She didn't, you know, get kind of, she didn't get physical, you know, with him, you know, like knocking him around or anything like that. She did get a blow to him with the lamp, but the way she got him to not rape her was that she continuously laughed in his face. And of course, he slapped her a few times, you know, but and then he knocks her out, and that's the last she ever saw of him. He, you know, he left after he knocked her out. So after her story, she asks Jamie if he's satisfied. And she says that I'm expecting an apology. And Jamie says, well, haven't I said as much? And Claire points out that, no, you haven't, you know. And Jenny's like, well, this is between my brother and me, you know. And Claire tries to, you know, she's just trying to help. But, you know, this is not the way things are done in this time. So Jamie wants to talk to Claire in private. So he takes her to the other room. And he tells her, you know, I'm your husband. You shouldn't be embarrassing me in front of my family and the servants. And Claire tells him, well, you're doing a fine enough job on your own, you know. But he tells her that, you know, this is the way it's done here. You know, she is his lady and he is Laird of Broctura, and they should conduct themselves as such. And Claire, she says, well, I'm not the meek and obedient type. And Jamie, you know, he says, I don't think anybody would ever make that mistake about you. But, and he points out that nobody would probably make that mistake about Colm's wife either, Letitia. And he says that, you know, she's a strong, respected, and even feared lady. But she never crossed her husband's word in public. Now, behind closed doors, that's a different story, you know. I mean, she would probably throw things at Colm, you know. And Claire, she says, well, you know, I have a much better throwing arm than her, so you need to be careful. So they come back out and join between Ian and Jenny, and Ian asks Claire where she's from, and she says she's from Oxfordshire, and but she's hoping to make Lollybrook her home. And Jenny's like, so y'all are gonna stay here, and what about the price on your head? And Jamie explains, you know, the agreement he has with the Duke of Sandringham. And she says that, I never knew you would be so trusting of the English. And this is a dig, really, at Claire. You know, you can see the tension, like, you know, you probably couldn't even cut through it with a butter knife. But Claire takes this moment to ask if there's any warm water for her to wash up, and asks Ian about the chest that he had mentioned earlier. And he said that it came from a woman named Miss Fitzgibbons. And again, I'm going to miss that woman. We don't see her again, and I miss her already. But anyways, Jenny says that she'll have the servants clear out the Laird's room so that they can settle in, and she tells the servants to move their stuff to the other room. And Claire's like, no, we wouldn't dream of putting you out. But, you know, Jamie says, well, it is the Laird's room and everything like that. So Claire and Jamie, they leave, and Jenny, you know, she's sitting there, and she keeps giving Ian these looks, you know. Jenny does not like this whole situation, you can already tell. And I honestly don't blame her, because her and Ian have been running Lollybrook since, for what was it, 4 years that Jamie has been gone. So for them to just come in and take over like they own the place, it kind of sucks for Ian and Jenny. And I want to take just a minute right here, because I want to talk about the interior of Lollybrook. It is so gorgeous, and it is just a set. It is not a real, you know, place. The exterior, and it's in my trivia, but I'm going to go ahead and talk about it right here. The exterior is a place called Midhope Castle. But the inside of it, while they were filming these scenes, it was not safe to be inside. You know, it was an abandoned place. You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure it was still owned by somebody, but it was not, it was condemned. You know, it was not safe to be inside of it. So they built sets, you know, to look like the inside, and it is just so gorgeous, the props and the things. All of the sets that they use in this show are just so beautiful, and I love it. And I'm not sure, I'm gonna have to look this up, but I believe that the Midhope Castle, I believe they are turning that into a hotel. They're restoring it, and they're turning it into a hotel that tourists will be able to go and stay at Lollybrook. So that'll be cool, but I'm not really sure on that news. I'm going to have to look that up and talk about it next week if I find out. So Claire is up in the bedroom, and Jamie is bringing in that chest that, you know, that was sent from Castle Leok. And Claire tells him that he missed all the servants clearing out all of Jenny and Ian's things. And he comes in, and he's looking around, and he's explaining to Claire all the different things that his father would put his things, like a book over there in that corner, and his boots over by the fireplace. And he goes up to the bed and reaches underneath the bed and pulls out a dirk. At least I think it's a dirk, because it's shorter than a sword but longer than a knife. Again, there's one of those facts that, you know, if I'm getting it wrong, y'all correct me on it. He hands it to Claire, and she's looking at it, and she recognizes that it is from Vikings, and reminds Jamie that, you know, she was raised by an archaeologist. And he sits down on the bed next to Claire, and he's talking about how sacred the Laird's room was, and that he would sneak in when his father was out in the field, and he would sneak into the room and just to hold that sword and dream of the day that it would be his. And Claire says, well, it is yours now, Jamie. And Jamie looks at her and he says, it's ours. And then he starts talking about how his father built Lollybrook, you know, with his blood, sweat, and tears and everything. And now his bones are out in the graveyard next to his mother and his brother, Willie. So Claire asks Jamie, when was the last time he saw his father? And Jamie goes into the story, you know, the last time, you know, it was at Fort William, right after, a week after he had been flogged the first time. And he had run into his father, I mean, they go to the flashback, and he ran into his father in the hallway. And his father was saying that he had just talked to Blackjack Randall and trying to see what they could do to get him out. And Jamie, he starts apologizing because, you know, his father left him in charge of the estate and everything, and he got what happened with Jenny and everything. And his father said that what happened was not his fault. And he says that, I know you've been flogged. And then the guards are trying to pull Jamie away because Blackjack Randall is waiting. And his father says, don't y'all have any compassion. This is my son. And he tells him to remember to pray and that he'll stand by him no matter what happens. And he gives him a kiss on the cheek. And then they escort Jamie away with his dad standing there. And that is so, that scene is just so heartbreaking because, you know, that was the last time Jamie saw his father. And his father yells out to him, tells him, you're a brass lad, son. So they bring Jamie into the room with Blackjack Randall, and he's talking about how he just talked with his father, and because his father was trying to see how he could get him out. And Blackjack Randall says, unfortunately, his charges are so severe that the only way that his father could get him out was to get a written permission from the Duke of Argyle. And even if his father was to be able to get such a consent from the Duke of Argyle, he probably wouldn't make it back in time before Jamie's next flogging. And Blackjack Randall says that it's a shame that we have gotten off to such a poor start. And Jamie, you know, he's telling Claire the story, and he's like, I can't even imagine what he was even talking about, because just the week before, he had had him flogged near to death. Jamie says that he, you know, worked his words around and everything, and because he likes to play with his toys. Jamie says that it was quite clear, though, at the end, what he really wanted, because Blackjack Randall, was that he wanted Jamie's body. And basically, what Blackjack Randall is giving or offering Jamie here is that if Jamie gives over his body to Blackjack Randall, he won't give him a second flogging. So back in the room with Jamie and Claire, he's talking by the fireplace, and he says that the stripes on his back were still raw from the first flogging, and, you know, he didn't know what being buggered would feel like, but he thought that it would probably be less painful than the flogging, and he would probably be over quicker too. So he's ashamed to say that he considered it. And he says that, you know, he could still feel the kiss from his, you know, on his cheek from his father. And he was afraid of what his father would think of him. Not because of being buggered, but because letting Blackjack Randall break him. You know, he was afraid that his father would not be proud of him. So he says he couldn't do it. And then it goes back to Wentworth. And Blackjack Randall is giving him his second lashing, and of course, you know, that scene is awful. But this time, we see that his father was there. And his father, you know, has a stroke witnessing his son go through this. And he dies. Because his father thought that he was dead by this point, because Jamie had passed out. And Dougal said that, or told Jamie, that his father made a sound and then just collapsed. And so Jamie's like, saying that he didn't see it happen, you know, and he didn't see him buried or anything like that because of where he was. And Claire says, you know, even if you had given in to Blackjack Randall, he probably still would have dragged him out in that yard and had him flogged just for the sick pleasure that he has of it. And Jamie tells her, you know, we'll never know. Then there's a knock at the door, and it's Jenny, and she's like, how long does it take a person to dress? You know, supper's not going to keep. So, you know, the next scene we go to is Claire and Jenny sitting at the table. And Jenny, she asks Claire if she's ever had experience in running a house like this, and Claire says no, but she's a quick study. And Jamie and Ian are coming in to the room as they're discussing this, and Ian says that she'll get her chance tomorrow because tomorrow is a quarter day, and Claire asks what that is, and Jamie, you know, he explains that Castle Eauk, you know, goes and collects the rents for their tenants, but the tenants for Lollybrook come to them. And Claire is kind of concerned that she's like, wouldn't that be too public in all of this? And Jenny says, our tenants are like family, and not a person would think about turning Jamie over to the Redcoats, not even, you know, for a price. And Claire's like, it's good to hear. And then Jamie says that he'll take a look at the ledgers before, you know, they turn in for the night. And Jenny's like, well, I thought you would like to visit Father's grave. And Jamie says that he'll go and see it tomorrow. And Jenny's like, well, if he were alive, he would expect to visit this evening. And then Jamie, you know, he pops off and says that if he were alive, he would expect me to go over the ledgers for quarter day. So Jenny's like, well, suit yourself then. So I would imagine that, you know, the rest of that meal was like the most awkwardest dinner ever. But the next scene we go to, it's quarter day, and people are coming to greet the laird and the lady, and the women, they're bringing gifts for Claire, and one of the ladies gives Claire a vase with some flowers in it, and so Claire finally gets her vase that, you know, at the beginning of this series, she had said that she had always wanted a vase, but she had never been in a place long enough to be able to get one, and now she has one. But Ian comes out and calls Jamie to, you know, go and so they can begin collecting the rents from the tenants. So as Jamie's collecting the rents, there's a man that comes up and he only has half of what he owes. And he says that it's because one of his cows died to sickness a few months ago, and so he doesn't have, you know, what he owes. And so Jamie takes back the money and gives it back to him, and he says you'll settle up on the next quarter when times are better. And he says that was my father's view, and that's the way I'm gonna do it. And but if you remember, I don't remember if I mentioned it, but in the episode earlier, they said that Ian and Jenny said that the estate was having a hard time with debts and things. So this is not good. He should have at least taken, you know, the half that you know, the guy was given in the first place. But Jamie's been gone for too long. So he, you know, he doesn't realize, I guess, how bad it is. But anyway, outside, Claire, she's talking with the ladies about herbs and things. And there's this little boy, and he gets up to get a bannock, and his father starts smacking him around. So Claire gets up and intervenes, you know, and she introduces herself to this man. And this guy is like, you know, I heard that, you know, Jamie had gone and married a Sassenach and all of this. And Claire is still wanting to be of assistance, you know, so she says that she'll take the boy and watch him while he, you know, does whatever, you know, what he wants to do. So she takes the boy in the house, and she shows Jenny the bruises on the little boy's back and everything. So it gets the attention of Jamie, and he comes over there and asks what happened there. And Jenny says, nothing for you to be concerned about. And she takes the little boy off to the kitchen. And but Claire tells him that his father did it, and she wants Jamie to do something about it. But Jamie gets pulled away from one of the other guys, the guy that he just gave his rent money back to. He pulls him away, and Claire's like, you know, wanting Jamie to do something about it, but he's not going to do it. right now anyway. So after the party and everything, Jamie comes upstairs. Claire's already upstairs in bed because it's nighttime, and he comes upstairs. He is drunk, and I love drunk Jamie. I'm going to say that right now. He is adorable. But anyway, so he plops down on the bed, and Claire's like, you know, she's seen elephants sit down softer than that, and he says something in Gaelic, and she says, use English, please. And he tells her that now that you're a Scot, Sassenach, you should probably work on your Gaelic. And Claire, she asks him where he's been, and he says that he went to see Ronald McNabb, and, you know, he told him that if he ever touches his boy again, you know, he'll have to answer to the Lord Broctura. And, you know, he says, that's me. And and Claire's like, yes, I know, and everything. And then he leans over onto Claire, and he asks her, have you ever seen an elephant before? And she's like, yes, I've ridden one too. And he says, well, you'll have to tell me all about it, because, you know. And he rolls over, and she pushes him off of her, and he passes out. So, and she's laying there smiling, because, you know, he's adorable. I mean, who wouldn't just love that man? But anyway, so drunk Jamie is adorable, and hungover Jamie is hilarious. So he's sitting there, and, you know, he doesn't even want to look at food because he's so hungover and everything. And Claire brings him some more whiskey, you know, to drink hair of the dog. And he's like, I think I may need the whole hound. And Jenny comes in, and she's like, Ian tells me that you didn't collect the rents. And Jamie says, well, as you said yourself, it's been a hard year, so I thought I would give my tenants some ease. And Jenny's like, well, how easy do you think it would be for your tenants if the whole estate goes under because we can't make ends meet? And then Claire, she tries to interrupt, you know, and says that maybe we should talk about this when Jamie's feeling better. But Jenny points out that they have another mouth to feed. Jamie asks what's she going on about, because Robbie McNabb's father has given them custody of the boy. And he's like, because if Jamie Fraser thinks that he can raise this boy any better than I can, then he can pay for his upkeep. And Claire was like, well, he was only just trying to help because, you know, clean clothes and bannocks are going to, you know, help the boy from being beaten. And Jenny's like, well, do you all think that the life just started here? When y'all walked through that door, they were working on with Rabbi's grandmother where to put that boy with his aunt. And she asks Jamie if he even considered talking to her before he pulled out his fist. And she says, do you think father would have ran it that way? And this upsets Jamie, and he gets up and he says, I am the laird of this estate, and I do not need to discuss it, the running of it, with my sister. And Jenny's like, well, I'm begging your pardon, Laird Broctura, because, you know, Jamie is acting like a butt, you know. So, but anyways, she leaves, and Jamie sits back down at the table, and he takes a bite of the bannocks that are sitting on the table there, and they're hard as rocks. And he calls for Mrs. Crook, and she's the cook, I guess, and he asks what's wrong with these bannocks, and she says, well, the mill's not working, you know, we have to grind the flour by hand. And she says that they sent for somebody to come fix it, but Jamie gets up and says, I'll deal with it myself. So out at the mill, he goes and he checks on it, and the wheel's not spinning, so he starts stripping off his clothes to get into the water there. And and Claire's like, well, Jamie, you'll freeze to death. And he's like, well, at least you'll be able to serve decent bannocks at my wake. And he gets in the water and he goes under, and Jenny comes rushing up, you know, and says that they told me that the fool, you know, was over here. And Claire tells her that she shouldn't be here in her condition, but Jenny points out that there are redcoats coming. So Claire and Ginny sit down on Jamie's kilt and, you know, his things to hide them with their skirts. And these redcoats come up and they're asking what's the matter. And Ginny tells them that the mill's not working. So, you know, if they were here for, you know, any kind of refreshment, that they don't have it, you know, and that they should move on. Well, one of the redcoat men, they know how to fix the mill, and they get off their horse and they go towards it, and he starts saying that he's gonna have to go down and see what's causing it to not turn. And all of a sudden it starts turning because Jamie gets it unstuck, and then he sets his shirt up there to make it look like that's what was causing the wheel to not turn. So this satisfies them. They take the shirt and they leave. So Jamie comes back up out of the water, and Ginny is standing there, you know, chastising him for coming out there, you know. And he turns around. He says, "Ginny, will you please turn around so before my dangly bits snap off?" But this is the first time Ginny is seeing his back, you know. So it's very traumatic for her. So she runs off, and he turns around and asks Claire, you know, what was she doing here? And Claire says that she was trying to warn him about the redcoats coming. And I guess I need to mention it here, even though, you know, there's a lot going on in this scene. But this scene is very popular for a very, very obvious reason. Sam Heughan is naked in the water. But anyways, moving on. Back in the house, Claire is looking at all the paintings that are on the walls, and Jamie and Ginny's mother had drawn them, you know. And she's looking at them, and Ian comes up, and Claire is looking at a particular picture of Ginny, and she asks him if that's Ginny, and he says yes, you know, she cared for birds, you know, anytime there was a lame bird or, you know, with a broken wing or anything like that, she would take care of it. And he asks her if she's surprised that Ginny has such a sweet soul, and Claire says no, of course not. And, you know, of course Ian knows she's lying. Ian says, yeah, she's a Fraser, you know, they have thick heads, but they also have gentle hearts, you know. And it was actually Ginny that took care of him when he came back from the war without his leg. And she notices that it's bothering him, you know, it's paining him. And she asks him if he has tried a couple of herbs. And he says that he never tried the one of them. I can't remember what it was exactly now. But she said that she would make him some for him. And he asks her, he says, Jamie says that you're a healer, and so you've seen mangled men before. And Claire says, yes, I have. And Jamie had never seen anybody like that until Ian. And Ian says, but he brought me back to Scotland, and but Ginny you know, helped him get better. And Claire says, is that why you married her? And he said, well, you think I had any choice in the matter? He's like, I was still explaining to her why we couldn't get married. At the same time, I was standing in front of a priest saying, I take thee, Janet. And he goes on to say that, you know, Frasers, once they dig their heels in, you know, there's no swaying them either way. And Claire asks him, how does he manage? And he said that you can kick them until they move. And she says, if that doesn't work, then he says, we'll kick them harder. I want to take a second right here because, you know, I've been praising Ginny, you know, she's a firecracker, she's awesome and everything, but I love Ian just as much too, because, you know, anybody who can be married to her has to be, you know, awesome too. And I love him. In fact, you know, we'll meet more Murrays down the line, and I love all of them. But anyways, so Claire, you know, she goes into the bedroom and Jamie's sleeping, and she goes up to the bed and she pulls the covers off and drops him on the floor. And she tells him, you know, I didn't marry the Laird of Bractura. I married Jamie, but I haven't seen much of him since we walked through the gates. And he's like, well, that's who I am now. And Claire tells him, you know, I am speaking and you can, you know, speak when I'm finished. And she's like, well, Jamie, your father's dead. But I wager if he was still alive, he would give you a good thrashing for the way you've been acting. She goes on to tell him that he's trying to be someone that he's not. And if he keeps acting this way, he's going to lose the only family that he has left. So it goes to the next scene. And Jamie, he's finally going to see his father. And Ginny comes up behind him. And he starts talking to her. He says that he's sorry for the way he's been acting. And he also shows her that he got the rents from all the tenants. And that... He says he would talk to Rabbi McNabb's aunt and try to get him with him. But Jenny says, no, this is probably a better place for him because, you know, it probably wouldn't have lasted with his aunt. And she said that father would probably think so, too. But he said that he should have consulted with her and he's sorry for that. And but Jenny, you know, she says, well, I'm the one that has wronged you because she... thought that, you know, Jamie, when he got his flogging, that he may have done something to bring it on. And she always kind of blamed Jamie for the death of their father. But now seeing the scars on his back, she knows that he didn't bring it on himself. But she thinks it was her that did it because of the way she laughed in Black Jack Randall's face. And Jamie is like, no, no, you know. He says he did anger Black Jack at Fort William, but he said that it's neither one of their faults because, you know, there's a devil inside Black Jack that could never be influenced by anything. And he goes on to say that the only one responsible for putting Father in his grave is him, is Black Jack Randall. But he says it does trouble him that she went with Black Jack, you know, to save Jamie's life. Because he says he would have gladly died for her honor. But she points out that, you know, why is my honor more important than your life? Because she says if you're saying that you love me more than I love you, then you're mistaken, you're wrong, you know. And Jamie's like, no, no, you know. And then she says, welcome home, Lord Bractura. So I want to take a second right here because the chemistry between Laura Donnelly and Sam Heughan is just brilliant. They do feel like they're real siblings, you know. And I think that Laura Donnelly, she tried out for the role of Claire, but I'm so glad that they put her in the role of Ginny instead because it works better. They went to school, I believe, together, acting school together. So they had a history and you can see it. You can see their connection and it works better as them being siblings. So anyway, it goes to the next scene. And Claire, she's looking out the window of their bedroom and she sees the tower that, you know, is that the estate is named after, you know, Bractura. And she points out that she says, I thought you said that... Bractura meant north-facing tower, but this tower is round. And Jamie points out that the door faces north, so it's a north-facing tower. And Claire, she says, well, I'm starting to feel like I belong here. And Jamie tells her that he knew she belonged there the moment he laid eyes on her. He says that was one of the main reasons why he married her. And she says, well, what was the main reason? And instead of going through the scenes word for word, I'm going to play it for y'all, so hold on a minute.
Because I wanted you more than I ever wanted anything in my life. Right from that moment I fell off the horse and woke up in the dark, looking up at your face. And there was that long ride together, that lovely round arse wedged tight between my thighs and that rock solid head thumping me in the chest.
That's why you agreed to marry me, because of my round arse and my rock solid head.
Mm. I wanted you from the first moment I saw you, but I loved you when you wept in my arms that first night at Leoch. But now I wake up every day and I find I love you more than I did the day before.
I love you.
So yeah, that's the first time I think that Claire has ever told him she loves him. And of course, he carries her over to the bed and it goes to the next scene, and it's the next morning, and she wakes up by herself. He's gone, you know, he's gotten up for the day, but she gets up and she goes outside the room and finds out that there's men downstairs holding a gun to Jamie's head, and they're the watch, and that's the end of the episode. So we don't know what's going to happen next. I mean, we'll have to watch the next episode to find out. So yeah, that's the end of the episode. I want to say right here, this episode is going on a bit long. You know, I'm already at 43 minutes, and I know it's going to be, you know, longer than that because I've still got trivia and news to share with y'all. So I apologize now. What the thing about this particular episode is, there was a lot of information in it, and it was introducing a lot of new characters in a whole new place. It's almost like a whole new show. So yeah, anyway, that's gonna wrap up the discussion. Y'all stay tuned for news. I'm gonna switch that up because I have some news that is kind of negative, and I don't want to end the podcast on a negative note, so I'm gonna share the news first and then share the trivia at the end. So y'all stay tuned for news. So I got this news from Yahoo Entertainment, and I'm going to try really hard to not lose my temper about this. But it says, Outlander star Sam Heughan asks series fans to respect historic shooting locations. Sam Heughan is asking Outlander fans to respect historical shooting locations and not take home souvenirs. Echoing a request from Diana Gabaldon, the author of the novels the drama is based on, "Hopefully reading our book or other books, people will understand the history of what happened and treat historic sites with the respect they are due," Heughan said in an interview with the Sunday Times. Gabaldon spoke to the outlet after learning stones from Culloden Battlefield were taken, hoping fans will reconsider. Shooting takes place in Scotland, including Doune Castle, Rothie Murrochs, Forest Linlithgow Palace, and Loch Rannoch, among other historic locations. "I certainly don't agree with people taking souvenirs," she said. "These places are to be shared by everybody, and if you start dismantling them for your own selfish gain, then that's not helping anybody at all." So, yeah, I don't even know what to say to this because I don't want to really express my feelings about it, but yeah, that needs to stop. That is people's tombstones, and I'm not sure, from what I understand, they're taking the grave markers for each clan. Why would you do that? Anyways, this is sacred land. If you are a fan, and I use that term loosely for these people, but if you're a true fan, you would know not to take stuff like that because it is sacred ground. If you've been watching Men in Kilts, if you watched the final episode, which we'll get into next week, you would know not to take things, not even to mess with the ground that this battle took place at. It's really upsetting, and I'm speechless. I don't, because I'm not really speechless. I could really go on and on about this, and but I don't want to bring negativity to this podcast. I don't really want to, because I know my listeners, y'all don't disrespect this. Y'all are true fans. I'm pretty sure if you're listening to me for almost a whole hour, I'm pretty sure you're a fan. So I'm not going to gripe at anybody, but these people that are doing this needs to stop. That's all I'm gonna say on it. Anyway, y'all stay tuned for trivia. We'll be right back. So the trivia I have for y'all, number one, it says the tombstone for Brian Fraser's grave is shown inscribed with a Gaelic translation of Song of Solomon 4:6, until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. And number two, Midhope Castle stands in for Lollybrook on the Outlander television series. And, you know, I think I brought that up in the episode, you know, when we were talking about it. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting facts. All of the exterior was Midhope Castle, but the inside was sets, and people put that all together. You know, it's not a real historic, you know, interior. They did a fantastic job making that look vintage and like it belonged in that time era. So, but anyway, that's going to do it for this episode. I don't have any feedback. You can always click the link in the descriptions to find all of my social medias to get in contact if you want to leave feedback. But that's going to do it, y'all. Keep having fun. No bloopers tonight. Anytime that I messed up, the scene was too heavy. So, but thanks for listening, y'all.